Our scripture reading tonight is Mark 10, the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. The text tonight is made up of verses 46 through 52, the last section of the chapter. We begin our reading at verse 35. The Word of God at Mark 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And now beginning at verse 46, the text for tonight. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There ends our reading of the Word of God tonight. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his holy word. The miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus is recorded in all of the synoptic gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They are, by the way, called the synoptic gospels or synoptic gospel accounts because of their similarities. They are much the same, as synoptic means, whereas the gospel according to John is quite different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There are, however, two discrepancies in the narratives. First, whereas Mark and Luke speak of only one blind man, Matthew tells us that there were two blind men. Luke 18, verse 35, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." Mark, in our text, identifies this blind man by name, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, verse 46. But in distinction from Mark and Luke, Matthew speaks of two blind men. Matthew 20, verse 30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy upon us, O Lord, thou son of David." The second discrepancy is that whereas Matthew and Mark speak of Jesus performing this miracle as he departed from Jericho, Luke informs us that the miracle took place when Jesus came nigh unto Jericho, Luke 18, verse 35. With regard to both of these discrepancies, there are good explanations. First of all, with regard to the discrepancy concerning the number of blind men, although there were two blind men, both of whom were healed by Jesus, one of the blind men was the most foremost in pressing their claim upon Jesus. He was the spokesman of the two, and therefore he alone is mentioned by name. That one, of course, was Bartimaeus. The discrepancy on whether it was going into Jericho or departing from Jericho that Jesus performed this miracle can also be explained. The explanation is that Jesus spent most of this entire day preaching and teaching in Jericho until very late in the day, he passed out of Jericho. After going out of Jericho, he met Zacchaeus, who had climbed into the sycamore tree in order the better to see Jesus, whom Jesus had called down from the sycamore tree and into whose home Jesus brought salvation, and very likely in whose home Jesus spent the night. It was after calling Zacchaeus down from the sycamore tree that Jesus retraced his steps into Jericho in order to go to the publican's house. And it was on his return to Jericho that he healed blind Bartimaeus and his companion, who all this time were crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon us." Matthew and Mark omit entirely the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus' healing of Zacchaeus, and thus speak of Jesus restoring blind Bartimaeus and his friend after he had left Jericho. Luke alone records the incident involving Zacchaeus, so that from his perspective, and for that reason, he speaks of Jesus performing the miracle as he went into Jericho, as he went back into Jericho, in other words. What comes out in the miracle is the great faith of the two men who were healed, particularly the great faith of Bartimaeus. That's what Jesus himself calls attention to in verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Jesus called attention to Bartimaeus' faith. His faith was a true faith, a saving faith, a strong faith. I call your attention tonight to Jesus' healing of blind Bartimaeus. Let's notice, first of all, an urgent plea. Secondly, a strong faith. And finally, a wonderful miracle. Bartimaeus's urgent plea was, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." He pleaded with Jesus for mercy. Mercy. Mercy is help that is desperately needed. Mercy is help that is looked for outside of oneself. The one who cries out for mercy knows that he is not only in great need of that for which he is crying out, but he knows that he is unable, utterly unable to help himself, to do anything with regard to that for which he is crying out. "Have mercy upon me." And more than that, the one who cries out for mercy not only knows his own inability, but he knows also his unworthiness for the help for which he is crying out. That lived in the mind of blind Bartimaeus as well as his companion. They had no claim themselves upon Jesus' mercy. No right at all in themselves that would merit, make them worthy of Jesus' help of them, his deliverance of them from their blindness. Bartimaeus's urgent plea for mercy arose out of his awful, his hopeless condition. He was a poor beggar. He was in want, desperate want. He did not have eyes to see, and that meant that he could not work. He could not hold down a job. He could not support himself or his family if he had a family. Because of his poverty, he was miserable, utterly miserable. As an aside, the fact that Bartimaeus and his companion were reduced to begging is a sad commentary on the spiritual condition of Israel at this time. For according to the law of God, there were to be no beggars in the land. None. The fellow Israelites were to take care of their poor. They were to look out for the poor in their midst. God made special laws as provisions for those who were poor so that they would not need to beg, like the farmers in harvesting their grain. After rounding the corner with their beasts, might not back their plow up in order to harvest the corners of their fields. That had to be left. It had to be left for the poor, so that the poor could glean those corners of the fields and have something then to eat. And whatever fell to the ground, whether the grain or grapes or olives or whatever it was, whatever fell to the ground had to be left there, might not be picked up by the farmer and included with his harvest, left there so that the poor, once again, could glean and have something to satisfy their need. We know that, of course, from the story of Naomi and Ruth in the Old Testament, who gleaned in the fields of Boaz. And then besides, there were the special provisions for the poor in the offerings of God in the temple. A portion of many of those offerings went not only to the priests as support of the priesthood, but a portion almost always went for the poor, so that the poor once again would have their needs met. And in many of the offerings that the people of God brought when they came up to the house of God for worship, once again, a portion of the offerings was also to be given to the poor. But that in Jesus' day, there were beggars, many beggars, the impression that we get from the gospel accounts testifies to the sad spiritual condition of God's people at that time. Hard-hearted in their relationship to God, they were also hard-hearted in their relationship to the poor. And down through history, that has always been a barometer of the church's spiritual condition, her care for her poor in her midst. Bartimaeus was a beggar because he was blind. He was blind, totally blind. He could not see at all. His affliction was one of the worst possible afflictions. Blind. I have been impressed with that in my own ministry, particularly when I was pastor in Loveland, Colorado. For a time, when I served as pastor there, there were three blind people in the congregation. At one time, they had all been sighted. They had seen. But due to a genetic abnormality, gradually lost their sight. Can you imagine someone who has never seen? What is red? What does a tree look like? Or a horse? Or a person? Those who have at one time seen at least have images in their memory that they can recall and relate to. Even then, what an awful situation not to see. A couple of times I tried it to go about my work and my study for half a day with my eyes closed. to try to relate to the situation of these blind people in my congregation. It's unimaginable. The small, the dark, the depressing world, the loneliness of those who are blind. That was the affliction of Bartimaeus. Never to see the splendor of a glorious sunrise or sunset. Never to see the magnificence of the snow-capped mountain peaks. Never to see the splendor of the fall colors in Michigan. Never to see any of the innumerable things that we take for granted. Bartimaeus' blindness, of course, is a picture of our spiritual condition. His physical blindness points to spiritual blindness. Spiritually, we are poor, desperately poor. We have nothing, nothing at all from a spiritual point of view. And our spiritual poverty is due to our spiritual blindness. Blind we are. We cannot see God. We cannot see the kingdom of God. We cannot see truth and right. We cannot see God's word, the magnificence of His word in Holy Scripture and in the preaching of the gospel. We cannot see our Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lord. Blind, spiritual blindness. In his blindness, Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus for help. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." What stands out in the account is Bartimaeus's insistence. He did not cry out only once or twice or a few times. He persisted in his appeal to Jesus for help. Over and over again, he kept on saying it. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." He persisted, even though at first it seemed that Jesus was indifferent to his cries. Jesus ignored him. Jesus didn't immediately turn to him or answer his cries or address him or deliver him from his blindness. But apparently, Jesus snubbed him. He persisted when at length other of the disciples of Jesus, those in the crowd, rebuked him, tried to silence him. "Shut up, Bartimaeus. The master's teaching. Be quiet. We want to hear what he has to say." Despite their attempts to silence him, Bartimaeus continued to cry out to Jesus. He would not be silenced. He would not be offended by these followers of Jesus. His response? He cried out, "The more, all the more, a great deal." Verse 48 informs us, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." What explains Bartimaeus's persistence? What explains it that Bartimaeus would not be silenced? The explanation is faith. That's the explanation, as Jesus himself teaches. The explanation is not only faith, the explanation is a strong faith. Faith, you see, knows its need, its desperate need. And faith knows that Christ alone can satisfy that need. There is no help. There is no deliverance to be found anywhere else than in Jesus. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Faith will not be denied. Faith will have Jesus and the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. Always the plea of faith is, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Bartimaeus's faith comes out not only in his plea and not only in the persistence of his plea, but Bartimaeus's faith also comes out in his address of Jesus. That's significant. Bartimaeus speaks of Jesus as the son of David. "Jesus, thou son of David." Twice. First in verse 47, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And then again in verse 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus is the son of David. It's significant that Bartimaeus confesses that Jesus is the son of David. It's significant because of the content of his confession, and that's, by the way, what it is. It's a confession on Bartimaeus's part, openly, publicly. He is confessing his faith in Jesus. Bartimaeus confesses that Jesus is son of David, and that's significant. That Jesus is the son of David means that Jesus is the Messiah. It means that he is the Christ of God. It means that in Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises and all the prophecies of the Old Testament scripture. That Jesus is the son of David means that God's covenant, his covenant promise, and his covenant itself is fulfilled in Jesus. That Jesus is the son of David means that he is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament scriptures. Bartimaeus believes the scriptures. He believes that the scripture is the very word of God, that it is the scripture of truth. He believes the scripture in its fundamental message concerning Jesus, Jesus, son of David. He believes that the scriptures are the very word of God. He has no doubt about that, no reservations concerning his conviction with regard to Scripture. He believes the Scriptures to be the very Word of God. And he believes that all those Scriptures come to fulfillment in Jesus, the Christ of God. Bartimaeus is a man of faith. Faith lays hold on the Word of God. Faith believes the Word of God without any reservation, without any doubt. Bartimaeus has nothing, no earthly possessions. He's destitute, utterly destitute. No, he's not. He has one thing, the most important thing. What money cannot buy, what abundance of possessions can never be compared with. Faith. Faith in the Word of God. And that is above all things most precious. That faith, that strong faith, looked for and expected a miracle. At last, Jesus responded and indicated that the blind beggar should be brought to him. Bartimaeus should be brought to him. Verse 49. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." Significantly, all of the accounts agree that Jesus asked both of the blind men what it was that they wanted. Bartimaeus' response, verse 51, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Lord, that's significant. Equally as significant as Son of David. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no man says that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Bartimaeus is filled with the Holy Ghost. What is even more significant is that Bartimaeus does not merely address Jesus as Lord. That's what our King James Bible says in verse 51. Lord, that I might receive my sight. But that's not what he says literally. Literally what he says is Rabboni. Not just Rabbi. Rabboni. It's the very same word. The address of Jesus that Mary Magdalene would later use at Jesus' sepulcher, when the risen Lord appeared to her on the morning of his resurrection. Rabboni, she said to him. That's not Lord. That's my Lord. Lord of me. My master. That's faith. Faith does not only know that Jesus is Lord, but the knowledge and the conviction of faith is that He is my Lord. Lord of me. Me personally. And that's the confession that Bartimaeus makes in the words of our text for tonight. Why did Jesus ask? Why did he ask when it was so obvious, when Jesus had to have known the great need of Bartimaeus, his desperate need? Why did Jesus ask, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Verse 51. Why did he ask him? For two reasons. First, in order to bring home to Bartimaeus, to impress upon Bartimaeus himself the greatness of his need. Bartimaeus must know. Bartimaeus must be convinced, thoroughly convinced of the greatness of his need. That, first of all. And secondly, in order to cause him publicly to give expression to his great need. Out of his mouth, Jesus would hear the response to his question, and all the multitude would also hear. The sinner must know. The sinner must know thoroughly the greatness of his sin and misery. He must know his miserable and hopeless condition as he is in himself. He must know that there is absolutely no hope for him in all the world. And if he does not know, thoroughly know, his misery, neither is he going to seek deliverance from that misery. If he does not know his wretched condition, he will never cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy upon me." This is the first work of the Holy Spirit. This is the first evidence of the work of grace, that the sinner knows, thoroughly knows, his sin, his misery. But that raises a question. Why did Bartimaeus beseech Jesus for the restoration of his sight? Why didn't he ask, say, for the forgiveness of his sins? Would that have not revealed a stronger faith? Rather than to ask for the recovery of his sight, if he had asked Jesus, "Lord, forgive my sins," was it not rather unspiritual of Bartimaeus to ask for his sight rather than to ask for his soul's salvation? He didn't ask for the forgiveness of his sins for two reasons. First of all, he already had it. He already enjoyed the forgiveness of his sins through faith in Jesus Christ. And secondly, he knew that if Christ would grant the one, he would also surely have the other. Of that, he was convinced. It's in that connection that we must not suppose that Bartimaeus asked Jesus for the restoration of his eyesight only so that he would be able to see again. It wasn't just so that he could see the majesty of the mountains, could behold the glory of a striking sunset, could see the spectacular night sky with the shimmering of all the stars and the planets. It wasn't that. All by itself. He asked for his sight so that he could see Jesus. That's why he wanted to see. He wanted to see his Lord. He wanted to see with his own eyes the one upon whom he believed. And seeing him, the greater to enjoy his fellowship. That's the misery, the real misery, of those who are blind. Our sight is an important aspect of our fellowship with each other. We look into one another's faces when we commune with each other as husband and wife. That's the great misery of the man who is blind, that he cannot see his wife's face, behold her smile, look into her eyes, can't see the faces of the children, of the grandchildren, of brothers and sisters in Christ, of close friends, doesn't make fellowship impossible. Oh no. I always remember what one of the old ladies in Loveland who was blind, I would often come to see her in the rest home, by the way, and her lips would be moving like Hannah, but no words coming out. Esther, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just reciting the Heidelberg Catechism in German. Frontwards and backwards, she knew from memory the Heidelberg Catechism. But the important thing about our sight is that it's a dimension of our fellowship, our communion with each other. Not impossible, certainly, to have fellowship with your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, though you are blind, and probably to make up for it in other important areas. But it certainly does impact our fellowship with each other. That was the thing. Bartimaeus would enjoy fellowship with the Lord Jesus to its utmost. Lord, that I might have my sight in order to see you, in order to fellowship the more with you, to enjoy your communion. In response to his request, Jesus healed Bartimaeus. Wonderfully, miraculously, instantaneously, his sight was restored. Mark tells us that Jesus healed Bartimaeus simply by speaking the word. Verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Matthew's account is a bit fuller. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Matthew 20, verse 34. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Not because by his faith he earned his cure. Not because by his faith he merited the miracle that Jesus performed on him. But thy faith has saved thee instrumentally by means of faith. That's Jesus' teaching in the text. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, Jesus healed the blind beggar so that he enjoyed sight again, so that he could see once again, so that he could behold in fellowship with his Lord. Still today, it is by faith that we enjoy the salvation of our souls. It is by faith that we see Jesus, see him as he is revealed in his word, see him as he is preached in the gospel, as is the case tonight. All of the accounts agree that after receiving sight, Bartimaeus and his companion followed after Jesus. Discipleship of Jesus. That's the evidence of faith, the evidence of a strong faith. Not only confession of Jesus, but living the life of a disciple of Jesus. Faith does not only believe in Jesus, but faith honors, faith obeys, and faith follows after Jesus. This is the abiding significance of this wonderful miracle, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. We're taught here what for all time are the marks of true faith, saving faith. We're taught here what the marks of true faith are, so that we may know the genuineness of our own faith. Faith knows its need, its desperate need. Faith knows that there is no hope for the satisfaction of that need as we are in ourselves. And faith looks to Jesus Christ to Christ alone for the satisfaction of that need. Faith confesses the Lord Jesus. Faith cries out to Jesus for mercy. And faith delights in Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And faith follows after Jesus. What comes out here also is that the plea of faith is always, always heard by Christ. This too is the abiding significance of this wonderful miracle. Bartimaeus was heard of Christ. He received from Jesus Christ the help and the mercy that he sought in Christ. So do we. And so does every sinner who cries out to Jesus Christ for mercy, for deliverance, receive from Jesus Christ the help and the salvation that he seeks in Christ. That's Christ's own promise to us. That promise is sure. That promise comes out in the miracle, the wonderful miracle of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. We have that mercy from Jesus Christ alone. We have it in the preaching of his gospel, Sunday after Sunday. In the preaching of the gospel, we find in Jesus Christ the help and the mercy that we so desperately are in need of. Deliverance in Christ from our sin and the misery of our sin. And one day we will have it perfectly. In that day when we will see him as now he sees us, when we will behold him upon whom now we believe, and seeing him will enjoy his fellowship forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word and for the promise of the gospel that is thy word. Teach us, Heavenly Father, more and more to know our misery, our hopeless condition as we are in ourselves, and work in us to seek the help and deliverance that we desperately need in Christ Jesus alone. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.